We've been in great times, you know, over the last several years, and the thought about risk management and about evaluating risk and then putting in good mitigation plans hasn't really been in place.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, and I am your host, Tom Rafferty. Hi everyone, welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Rafferty with SAP, and with me on the show today, I have two guests, Dan and Odell. Dan and Odell, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Yes, happy to, Tom. Thanks for having us on your podcast today. Really look forward to this conversation. My name is Dan Bhide. I'm a co-founder and partner at My Supply Chain Group. We are an enterprise consulting firm helping our clients with supply chain strategy, process reengineering, and solution implementation in multiple industry verticals.
Super. And Odell?
Hey, glad to be here. My name is Odell Smith. I have been with My Supply Chain Group since it started over 11 years ago. I've been working in the supply chain space for over 30 years, and specifically in IT for the last 26 or so, and build a IT solutions for the supply chain.
Nice. Now, you guys held a webinar a week or so ago addressing specifically supply chain disruption, because we're in a kind of a crazy mixed up world right now. This is April 2020, the 14th of April 2020. And, you know, everything in the world seems to have gone to pot, as it were. And you had about 100 or so people on the webinar. And I was interested to maybe bring some of the learnings from that to the audience with this podcast. So do you want to talk about the background to the webinar first, and then we can get into some of the things that came out of it?
Indeed. You know, we had a lot of our clients calling us asking, hey, you know, can you help us with these issues versus those issues? And we certainly are engaged in those activities. What turns out from our experience is this, unlike many other disruptions that we have seen in the recent past, whether it was an earthquake or a tsunami or a fire at a major port, this one is unique in the sense that quite a few things have suddenly assembled together themselves in one place at one time, you know, whether it's the corona pandemic, whether it's also the mix of the US-China trade war that's actually been happening for the last couple of years, whether it's the sudden glut of oil, you know, and the rapid decline in oil prices because of that, the fear of recession, all those things have suddenly piled up on us. And a lot of companies that thought they had their business continuity plans put together are now finding that, you know, those weren't, after all, that resilient. So that was the reason behind us saying, let's take a big picture approach to helping our clients and prospects understand what happened, why it's happening, and what we can do about it. As we go on in this conversation, we can explain the fact that, you know, beyond going from just issues, impact, and mitigation strategies, we were able to help clients understand how to actually translate a mitigation strategy into the specific action plans and the specific tasks.
Okay. Odell, you want to jump in, add anything to that?
So a lot of this kind of comes down to information and the sharing of information. And so one of the only ways that any business is going to be able to get through this is with collaboration. And so there's being able to have information to process and manage internally, as well as being able to share with your vendors and your customers.
Can I interrupt you, Odell, for a second? Just rather than getting into that just yet, can we take a step back?
Sure.
And we've identified the kind of main factors, the drop in oil price, the trade wars, and the sudden global pandemic that shut almost everything down. Those are the big picture factors. But how is that affecting supply chains? How is that affecting organizations you work with? What are the problems that you guys are seeing out there for companies?
Okay, so an example is there's quite a bit of disruption in not only in some of the vendors and suppliers, especially with the great focus that's been happening over the last 10 to 20 years of outsourcing a lot of stuff overseas, and mm-hmm. and so there's obviously enormous impact there with suppliers not being able to provide raw material and or finished goods to the supply chains. But in addition to that, there's logistics impacts as well. So take, for instance, one of our clients has asked us to help them build some what-if simulation capability around port closures. So as these products, in addition to the suppliers not being able to provide things, the government mandated closure of logistics facilities and ports has been a significant problem and a concern with several companies, in addition to health and safety measures for the people that work in those areas. So it's just a couple of examples of things where things that you wouldn't normally expect. I mean, sometimes you have union strikes and these type of things, but they're known more ahead of time, right?
Sure.
And there's a way to be able to try to mitigate some of that. But this is urgent, immediate, and unexpected in many cases.
Right. Totally unprecedented to use a word that's being used an awful lot these days.
Exactly.
You know, if you think about it, Tom, you know, even in the last few big disruptions that some of us have read about or been through, you know, none of us were around for the 1929 Great Depression. Many of us may not remember the 1973 oil shock, but none of them had this confluence of all the events, you know, the disruption of demand, disruption of supply, the disruption of networks, and all that compounded by the fact that most of us are forced to stay home because of social distancing. Many people are losing jobs. So all this confluence of multiple impacts is fairly unprecedented.
It is. And we here in Spain, they're now starting to allow some sectors go back to work again in a very limited capacity. But it looks like we're coming out, you know, slowly the other end of it. The curve is being flattened, but it's still, there's not going to be a vaccine widely available until mid to late 2021. So social distancing and those kind of measures, you know, to Adele's point, in the workplace for health and safety, that's going to be an ongoing factor, and possibly access to supplies and things like that. We can deal with these kind of things short term, but is this something that we can manage for 18 months?
I guess it's more like, do we have a choice rather than figuring out how to manage it, right? You know, one of the CEOs of a big retailer said, hey, you know what, there is no playbook. We are doing this on the fly. And speaking to another client recently, he said, because of social distancing requirements, we really can't even have the whole production staff on the floor, for example. And if earlier we were running the line with, say, 20 people on the line, now we have to make do with 10 or 12 of them because of social distancing. And that means we are running our lines at, say, 60, 70% of the capacity than our usual. Now, this is where the ability to look at all kinds of what-if analysis. Now that I'm running at 70%, for example, can I open up the third shift? Can I open up Saturdays? And if I do that, do I have an ability to still catch up on my demand? So that kind of ability to on the fly do these kinds of different analysis and then figure out alternatives, now that you know you have a different hard constraint of not getting everybody on the production floor, becomes an issue. And how quickly are you able to do that kind of analysis to have right kind of decisions made becomes a significant challenge. If you have digitized your supply chains, then that kind of what-if capability becomes a little easier to achieve than if things are still disconnected and maybe worse even on paper.
We'll be right back.
Elevate your brand with the Sustainable Supply Chain Podcast, the exclusive voice in supply chain sustainability. Last year, this podcast's episode were downloaded 113,000 times by senior executives across the world, with listeners concentrated in the EU, North America, and Asia. become a sponsor, lead the conversation. Contact me for sponsorship opportunities and turn downloads into dialogues. Act today, influence the future.
In the webinar that you guys ran, what were the primary concerns that people had when they joined the webinar? What were the questions they were asking and what kind of answers did you have for them?
I guess some of the main concerns were around, again, back to the data thing, trying to be able to understand the impact of a particular situation. In many cases, there are several different impacts, even inside of some of the same companies, right? You can have massively increased demand in one business unit and devastatingly lost demand in another business unit, even inside of the same corporation. Mm-hmm. So being able to quickly be able to get information on where we think that's going to go and what the impact of that is going to be is important. And then being able to simulate how am I going to solve whichever side of that I'm on. Mm-hmm. One of the things about this flattening the curve thing, Tom, is I get it. It's important for the medical response to this. But what that does in effect is an indeterminately amount extend this issue, yeah, and extend the supply chain impact for what you're talking about, a very long duration, right? I mean, that's a whole purpose of that model of flattening that curve.
Yeah.
And so trying to be able to put some data, the people that we were talking to were very concerned about how to model that, right?
Right.
So that they could plan effectively and then try to, you know, come up with different scenarios where they might be able to make it through. There's a lot of capability to do things to try to substitute products where available and to be able to maybe delay demand spikes or, you know, change promotions and pricing things that were going to affect demand and that type of thing, to be able to shift some of those things around. Those are very doable. Those wind up affecting then the supply and how that supply is going to be able to make that. So there's a balance that you can do with that, but being able to simulate that and see that, have the visibility of those is some of the biggest concern, because a lot of people have not put in some of the new capabilities to be able to visualize that stuff. Right. And that's an important piece of this concern anyway, not being able to see.
So Odell, if I remember correctly, I think you said you've been in supply chain for 26 years.
Yes.
If this had happened 25 years ago, as opposed to today, you know, what are the differences in the supply chain solutions that are available today versus ones that were available 20 odd years ago? What can companies do now that they couldn't do then? I mean, we're chatting away here on a podcast recording platform that allows us to see each other's faces. We're working from home using Zoom and similar technologies, things that could not have happened 25 years ago. How does the supply chain world compare?
It's even it's hard to even imagine back then the being able to have this happening, but the capability of being able to function as well as we're able to. I mean, there is still an amazing amount of business that's being accomplished because of technology, just like what you're describing here. So as an engineer, before I got into the IT side of the supply chain, working in manufacturing, there were these same type of problems, but it seems like there has been kind of just-in-time mentality that has really shortened the supply chain, has reduced a lot of cost, and has taken a lot of the flexibility out of the supply chain over the last several years. And that that flexibility then has done a great thing for reducing prices and increasing margins, and it's a great thing for the business. But it also, I think, this is a little bit philosophical, but it's kind of we've been in great times, you know, over the last several years, and the thought about risk management and about evaluating risk,
yep,
and then putting in good mitigation plans hasn't really been in place. Back to your technology question. So there's going to be a focus on that going forward that hasn't been there in years. And this whole just in case logic that we discussed in our webinar is going to be much more tied to the just in time thing. And there's going to have to be a balance there.
Okay.
The new technologies that we've seen come available, especially in the digital revolution, where we're able to quickly put data in to a system and be able to get valuable results out of it from partners, is probably one of the biggest benefits. So our being able to see the entire supply chain and then be able to collaborate with the cloud technologies with partners from the supplier side, as well as in our manufacturing and processing, as well as through to the end customer, and being able to collaborate is the biggest advantage that I've seen here in the technology. And that's a large piece of that is going from on-prem to the cloud.
Right.
And those are the biggest the biggest advantage. And then the tool sets inside of those that allow more flexibility and visibility in the analytics that are real time, where we used to have to wait days, you know, to be able to get data in a place where we could do analytics on it. Those are the main pieces for me.
All right. Dan, have you anything to add there?
Sure. You know, just as the technology has evolved, you know, most of us hadn't, maybe the word digital supply chain wasn't coined 25 years ago. So now it's a reality for us, you know, and some of us have been leaders. Some companies have been forced to follow that. You know, the expectations of consumer have changed as well over the last 25 years. You know, when you thought of getting a product within a week was good enough, now here are the Amazons of the world offering the products overnight or even sometimes the same day. So some brick and mortar have been forced to go there as well. What that has done is, you know, we all talk about the three V's of supply chain, right? The velocity of supply chain has been forced to increase big time. The visibility also is required to go literally not just within your own silos or breaking the silos. Now we are talking about visibility across the whole network, you know, from supplier to customers. And then there is also expectation of variability. How do I reduce my variability in my supply plan so that I can assure Tom a delivery of his product that he ordered tomorrow morning or even today evening. So expectation of reduced variability, expectation of increased velocity, and expectation of increased visibility has been forced upon the companies as well.
We're at the almost 18-minute mark now, I like to keep this podcast to about 20 minutes. For people who are listening who were unable to attend your webinar, what advice would you give them going forward, where we're headed into a world of possibly 18 months of social distancing? You know, maybe there's a vaccine comes out sooner, and maybe it's, you know, 9 or 12 months or whatever it is. But we're heading into a world of a lot of unknowns, you know, and we've had this triple whammy hit us now. What advice would you give to people who are running supply chains now moving forward?
You know, one of the things, a caution, is that this priming the pump, once things start getting normalized to a new normal, I mean, is going to be excruciatingly complex and time consuming. So that is something that they're already dealing with. But this priming the pump, meaning getting back to a new normal, is going to take weeks, possibly months to happen. And that means that, you know, we have to now look beyond the short-term, mid-term plans to look at the long-term plans, having the business continuity plans in place, and also people literally doing monthly new scenarios of what if and to mitigate the risk. And most importantly, focus on the fact that what you do now is going to redefine your competitive ecosystem as well, because some companies will be able to handle this well, some won't, and that's going to create a new normal and a new competitive landscape. So see this as much as an opportunity as a disruption or a threat.
Okay, Odell?
So there's a lot of companies where executives are down on the shop floor packing warehouse boxes right now, trying to be able to just get through this, right? And that is absolutely required. You just have to do what you have to do to be able to make this work, all hands on deck. But at the same time, there has to be some level of strategy where you do, like Dan was saying, where you look for ways that you can take advantage of this and that you can get out of execution and start trying to do some of that forward planning and being able to focus on the entire chain inside of your corporation with a value chain, but the entire supply chain, and work on collaboration with your suppliers and with your customers to see what they are seeing, right, as what their demand is, and to be able to figure out how you can best supply that. You have to spend some time on that, even in the middle of working 14 hours a day packing boxes to try to get things out. And so it's not necessarily a time to go and do a full system implementation, but there are ways that technology can help in this digitization that we've just talked about. That was a little bit tough to get out. So there are ways that you can use information to help expedite that collaboration. And I couldn't emphasize the collaboration with customers and vendors enough in that scenario.
Okay, last question, guys. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you think we should have talked about? Anything that you'd like to bring up that we haven't hit on just yet?
One quick comment from me, and as I was referring to earlier, it's one thing to comprehend the big picture and talk about mitigation strategies, and I would align that to maybe a 20,000 feet level thinking, but it's a whole another world translating those mitigation strategies into really what enables to translate that mitigation strategy into action plans. So this is where the expertise matters. How do you translate the so-called one-liner mitigation strategy into 20, 30 action items or tasks, whether they are on the system side, on the people side, on the process side, on the policies and practices side? How do you come up with the new KPIs for resilience as against the existing KPIs for efficiency and just-in-time? Those are the challenges that one needs to really think through.
Okay. Odell?
I think being able to look back at this and be able to think of what worked and what didn't work is going to wind up being of value as well. It's almost impossible to do that while you're in the trenches, but take notes about what's going on and what worked and what didn't work, and then where you might want to have things perform differently in the future. Most of our planning solutions are based on data that happened in the past. These anomalistic times that we're in are going to cause many, many outliers, but there is also going to be a new normal that's going to come out of that. There's going to have to be a focus and an analysis on that data to have good plans going forward in the future. And that's probably a completely separate podcast discussion around innovations and that type of thing. And being able to use advanced machine learning and AI to be able to support some of those quick decisions. That's something that's necessary to do for sure.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. If people want to know more about yourselves, Dan and Odell, or MSCG, where would you have me point them?
they can go to mysupplychaingroup.com and they can call us as well. But mysupplychaingroup.com, one word, is the place they can reach out to us.
In that case, gentlemen, thank you very much for your time and your expertise today. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for having us, Tom. It's my pleasure.
Yes, really enjoyed it. Thanks for the time.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain, or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application to get new episodes right away as soon as they're published. And also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.